Well, we've been ministering all year basically on God's love to us and God's love working through us. And I've been talking these last three times I've ministered, or last two times, about love in action, love in action, love gives. And today I want to continue with love reconciles. There's a lot of division in this country and all throughout the world. We have more wars happening right now than ever in history. And we've got to make a decision that we're going to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And it's no shock to the Apostle Paul what's happening today. Look at what he wrote. I want to read from 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Read this in the Message translation. It says, "Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead." It's always a great word. "As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderers, impulsively wild, savage." This really gives you a lot of hope, doesn't it? "Cynical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust, and allergic to God." And, you know, that's prophetic. That's what's, you know, what we see happening. And let's look at the early church's response to things. Acts 2 in verse 40. "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" That's the key. Salvation's the key. Be saved. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. Continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." And that is really the answer today to division, to strife, is salvation, to be saved. That's what we need. We need the power of God. And again, I like what Eddie was sharing during the offering. It's, you know, the early church, unity, love for each other, care for each other. They not only just said, "I love you," they acted upon it. They were generous towards each other, kind towards each other, gracious towards each other. They had a lot of love, but they also had a lot of love for their neighbors and for their community and their city. They didn't want to see people perish and see people go to hell. That's not what they wanted. They wanted people to be saved. And they did all this during the rule of the Romans. You know, I'm a student of history, and you don't realize how brutal the Romans were. They had slaves. Perversion and sin abounded. They invented new ways to sin. They changed their political leaders by assassination. And for entertainment, they'd go to the Colosseum and watch people kill each other. They did that for sport. And so you think we're living in a tough time? Yeah, we are. And sin is abounding. But the early church, in the midst of all the perversion and all the craziness, were able to love each other and reach out and love people in the community and to bring the gospel. And so if they can do it, we can do it. Everybody say this: we can do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You can do it." So I believe right now there's a huge opportunity in the world for the church. We are relevant. We are needed. We do matter. But we need to have the eyes of faith and not fear. We need to remember who we are and why we are here in this earth. Now, one of our favorite, probably one of our core scriptures, if we have, you know, a few of them, would be 2 Corinthians 5. Turn there. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. I mean, you wouldn't go wrong meditating and reading these verses every single day of your life, because it just encapsulizes everything that God has made us to be, and who we are, and what we can do, and all the things that we have. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, do I have anybody that's in Christ today? If you're a believer, you're in a position called in Christ. And if you read through Paul's writings, there's over 140 references to who you are, what you have, and what you can do. You are in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. We ought to be different than we used to be. We ought to think and act and speak and do things differently than how we used to act. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled, everybody say reconciled, reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Using reconciled, reconciliation a lot here. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So there's a whole bunch of things we could say here, but let me go through at least 4 points here. First one is, we have been reconciled to God. That's where it all starts. Reconciliation, to be reconciled to God, means being called back into order. It means to restore a friendship or relationship, bring back into a state of harmony, to receive someone back into favor. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, there was a separation with God. And you can read, you know, through history, you can read through the Old Testament, you know, that separation, and God trying to win man back, and, you know, through the Old Covenant. And then you understand the whole reason why he brought Jesus. The whole reason he brought Jesus was to reconcile lost man, separated man, who deserves, because of sin, to die and spend eternity in hell, which is a real place. It's like Augusta, Georgia. Hell is a real place. It's not a place you want to hang out. But that's from rejecting God's love and rejecting him, that is your destiny. And so Jesus came, and this is the good news, this is the gospel. Jesus came to pay the penalty for our sin and remove the barrier, the wall, the curtain between us and God, and to unite us. So much so that we'd be called sons and daughters. And to bring us into harmony, to bring us into unity, to bring us into fellowship, to bring us into friendship. We deserve to be separated from him, but Jesus came to receive what he didn't deserve, the cross and death, so that we wouldn't receive what we deserved, which was death. Jesus took our sin, took our poverty, took our sickness, took eternal separation from God upon himself, so that we could receive God's life. He took our unrighteousness and gave us his righteousness. Romans 5 talks about this reconciliation. Romans 5, verse 7. But God shows, Aren't you glad he's just a God that demonstrates? He's a God that acts. God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the anointed one, died for us. See, we don't reconcile to God. God reconciled us. He's the one that initiated. It wouldn't matter if we initiated it. He's the one that is the only one that could do anything about the separation. And so he acted upon it. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we are now justified, acquitted, made righteous, and brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood, how much more certain is it that we shall be saved by him from the indignation and wrath of God? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled, there's that word, to God through the death of his Son, it is much more certain now that we are reconciled that we shall be saved, I like this, daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection life. Not only so, but we also rejoice and exultingly glory in God in his love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation. How do we receive this reconciliation? We don't just get it because we're here on the earth. We don't just get it because we're in church. Or we've heard a Bible verse or whatever. We receive the reconciliation that God's offering. And in Romans 10, verse 9 makes it pretty clear. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord. That Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe, adhere to, trust in, and rely on the truth that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And for anybody that's in Christ, this is how you got in Christ. And if you're wondering today, if you are, well, have you done this? Have you believed in the resurrection? Have you believed that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin? Have you received his forgiveness? Have you believed? And then you seal the deal with your confession. Jesus is my Lord. He is my master. He is the one I'm giving my life to. He is the one that I follow. I'm now taking his orders. And so if you're watching by live streaming or you're here today, and you wonder if you're in Christ, this is the way you do it. You believe and confess. And if we do a little study on faith, that's what faith is. Believing and confessing. So that's the first one. You got to know that you've been reconciled to God through Jesus. And so through that reconciliation, then we need to know that we've been made new creations. We've been born again. We are now in Christ. Heaven is our eternal home. Not hell, heaven. And that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant. And it's not just when we get to heaven. He's given us a life overflowing with blessings, overflowing with good things, here on the earth, in the midst of the craziness, we're blessed. In the midst of the craziness, we have abundant life. We have a life overflowing with good things. Now, we may not always realize it. Sometimes we forget who we are. But this is the truth. This is the facts. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. And we call this abundant life. We call it we have a benefit package, a salvation package. We have an inheritance while we're here on earth. This is all part of being a new creation. Our sins have been forgiven and forgotten. Woo! There's no record of your sin in heaven. When you get to the judgment seat, there's not going to be a video of all your sin because it's been erased. Therefore, we have no fear of judgment, no fear of punishment. He provides for us financially. He has healed our bodies. He has filled us with himself, filled us with the Holy Spirit. So we should be thinking, believing, speaking, and acting differently than the world. His love should be and is shed abroad in our hearts. But there's a purpose for us being a new creation. And you gotta, and being a new creation is about your identity. You gotta know who you are. And I think a lot of Christians, maybe because where they are, they haven't been taught, or maybe they've forgotten who they are. I mean, if you got someone that's a spy, you like spy movies? Someone that's a spy and they have to go into another situation and they're going to be a spy, they got to get a new identity. And they've got to know about identity so well that if they're tortured, they can tell lies. Because their life depends on it. And you know, but Christians, we don't know who we are. We've been given this brand new identity, but we keep acting like the old man. That's not who you are. And so you got to continue to saturate, and you never arrive. You got to continue to renew your mind, continue to put the word in there about God's love, about who you are, about your identity, until you believe it. And how do we know if you believe it? Just like in salvation. I mean, I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I know. I've never been there. I've never seen it. But I know that heaven is my eternal home. Because I believe the promise. And so I'm not laying awake at night wondering about my eternal destiny. I've settled that issue. So that affects my behavior and the way I act. Well, it's the same thing with our identity. If you are in Christ and you've renewed your mind, then we ought to see a behavior change. There ought to be a difference in the way you act. There ought to be a difference in the way you think. Now, I'm not saying you think perfectly. There ought to be a difference in the way you speak. The new creation. And we need the church to start acting like the new creation. Start acting like they're a new identity. But yet, we're wanting to conform to the world and be like them. They've got nothing. The world has nothing to offer us. All that's just an illusion. It's a fantasy. It's a lie. They've got nothing. And so if you're searching today, I'm going to tell you clearly, Jesus is the answer. His word is the answer. And you need to go to the Word and go to Paul's writings and start finding. You can start by looking at who you are in Christ and start looking at your identity and start putting those words in there. And I like to make confessions. Start confessing the Word until you believe it, until it affects your behavior. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. There's 140 of those promises. How many do you know? In Christ is wisdom. In Christ is peace. In Christ is joy. Boy, if you look during our praise and worship today, and I do that, I look around, and I know some people are more reserved, but you couldn't tell they had any joy. We're worshiping God and praising God. There's not even a smile on their face. Now, I'm not judging anybody, but some people, and I'm not, you know, pointing at anybody here. I'll look at you because you were leading worship. I mean, you couldn't tell. You think they were dead. There's no life. Believers, and again, I'm not saying we have to be running around the church and standing on the chairs and swinging from the chandeliers. Now, that'd be kind of cool. I want to see that. Because if you're swinging from that chandelier, it's going to be a miracle. But it's really sad because it's the world's weight is so strong. You can't even lift your arms. You can't show any, you can't smile. And then we had Tori singing about joy. We can't even smile when we're singing about joy. And so, Frank, I'm just hoping we don't have to all, you know, just watch you worship. I hope one day we can worship with you. I've got joy. How does joy manifest itself? Laughter, dancing, and singing. Woo! And if I did my dance, you'd be laughing about that. We are new creations. We've been born again. We've been filled with His Spirit. We've been given joy. We're forgiven today. Woo! I'm forgiven. My sins are forgiven. They've been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise Him. He's so good. I love Him so much. How would you like it if it's Valentine's Day and I'm giving Susie all her gifts and just, I love you, Susie. Come here, baby. A woman wants some passion. Don't you, is that right, Susie? But she didn't die for my sins. I'm moving on here. So we've been made new creations with joy. In His presence is fullness of joy. We need to worship outside of church. Then it'd be easier to worship in church. Was worshiping this morning. I had my music. I mean, I don't need music, but I had my music playing and getting ready and just worshiping God. On the way over there, out of the church today, worshiping God, singing my own songs, new songs that you don't want to hear. But they were good, boy. Woo! God was saying they were good songs. I was worshiping this morning, and I just saw this image of me in the throne room. And I just saw, and God was there, standing there right before me like I would another person. And He just put His arms around me, and He said, I love you, Matt. I love you. Wow. It's good stuff. Well, we've been made ambassadors. So we've been reconciled. We're new creations. We've been made ambassadors. And again, part of who we are in Christ, we are now citizens of heaven, sent to live in a foreign land with a foreign language and culture to represent Jesus. We're ambassadors. We're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. And we represent Christ. We're Christ representatives. And we're to go, and wherever we go, and pretend, you know, not pretend, but it is, but we need to have it in our minds. This is a foreign land. I represent Christ. The people, most of the people I'm coming in contact, they don't know him. And I'm the representative. We've been given the highest rank. We're the most esteemed, most celebrated. I'm not talking about the fivefold ministry or the pastor or whatever. I'm talking about believers. The highest rank, most esteemed, most celebrated, impressive, and an influential job in the kingdom of God is that of an ambassador. And all of heaven is standing behind you, backing you up, backing up your words. All of heaven, the angels, they're there to provide for you, to assist you. Heaven is waiting to act on your behalf. We are the voice of heaven in this earth. Say this. We are the voice of heaven in this earth. My voice is the voice of heaven. We have the Word of God, the name of Jesus, and we need to act as like his representative. I'm not just representing Matt Judd to the world, I'm representing Jesus. Now, ambassadors have been given what kind of ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. Let's get all my props ready here. Get a drink here. About to come down the floor. That was good. Okay, we have been reconciled. We are new creations. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are his representatives. And as ambassadors, we've been given the ministry. And that word ministry is the same office word that's used for apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And so our ministry is to help bring people back into God's favor. And that's part of our assignments while we're here on the earth. Now, I love to get over into just sharing the gospel, which I probably would do at this point. But I feel like a little check here, so I'm going to actually go to one of my fallback scriptures. The ministry of reconciliation is not just reconciling the lost person to God. The ministry of reconciliation should be in our homes, should be in our marriages, should be in our families. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. That means you're to restore favor, to restore friendship, harmony and unity in your home and in your relationships. Now, I was thinking about this while Eddie was receiving the offering today. Look over in Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Got any tithers in the house? Any seed sowers here? Here's a good verse for you. This is good offering message here. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew 5, verse 23. Thank you, Susie. I love you. I really appreciate that. You're so kind. No, that was fake. No, that was no. No, it was all real. Matthew 5, verse 23. Therefore, you bring your gift to the altar. That's a good thing, right? And there, remember that your brother has something against you. It's not just you have something against them. They have something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. How many think of that verse during offering time? You know, you think about 1 Corinthians 13 when it talks about, you know, how we give our body to be burned and, you know, all the different things, but we have not love, it profits nothing. If you're in strife, if you're in division, you bring your gift, it means nothing. You might as well hold it back and wait till you act on this verse and then come bring it. Because tithing is about love. Seed sowing is about love. The cheerful, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving, God loves that giver. It's when it's given out of love because he is love. I'll read this from the Passion Translation. We don't have that up here. So then, if you are presenting a gift before the altar in the temple, and suddenly you remember a quarrel, maybe that's a better word, quarrel. Y'all know what that is, a quarrel? You have with a fellow believer. Leave your gift there in the front of the altar. Go at once to apologize with the one who is offended. Then after you have reconciled, come to the altar and present your gift. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. But how many times do we just act like the world when we're offended and something happens and we get hurt? Do we start giving the silent treatment? Do we start, saying things and doing things that we shouldn't do? Using our mouth to curse, using our mouth against somebody. And it's not, because a lot of times when you offend somebody else, you don't know about it. But when you're offended by someone else, you know about it. It says for you to go do something about it. But a lot of times, what we're doing, we're waiting on them to come to me. I want to see them grovel. I want to see them ask for forgiveness. I used to hate, because a lot of times I'm the one that in our relationship, I'll come and ask for forgiveness. Because I mess up a lot more than she does. But it's just, probably maybe more of my family or more of my nature, but I'll go and ask for forgiveness. And I resented that a little bit, I think at different times. But then I realized, hey, if I'm the leader in my home, I should be the one to go apologize. I shouldn't wait for her to come to me. I should go to her and make things right. That's leadership. And then I think about this, like with my kids. You know, your kids will hurt you. I don't know if you guys know about that yet. If you've experienced that, but as they get older, they can hurt you. Why? Because we still have brokenness. We still let things bother us. There's a devil out there. There's an accuser. And so we let these hurts build up in our hearts from our kids. And then we, so many times, like as a parent, you're expecting that child to come to you to make it right. But my Bible says that the one, you know, the greater is the one that blesses. And so if I am the leader of my household or a parent, I should be the one going to my kids to get the quarrel straightened out and do what I can do to get it worked out until it is. Now that's maturity. And a whole lot of people don't have that, you know, and I understand. We got our own hurts. We've been hurt. Whole lot of baggage from our past. But I'm just telling you, this is a sign of maturity. And, you know, hey, I'm 55. When am I going to be mature? I need to be the one to go ask for forgiveness. I need to be the one to go and repent. I need to be the one to go and work out the quarrel. And maybe they won't receive it, but I'm going to keep on trying. And if they won't receive me, I'm going to pray. Pray for them. That is love. I'm not saying it's easy, because it is hard. Because when you're hurting, the last thing you want to do is go forgive or reconcile with someone that's hurt you. But I'm telling you, you know, and so I've said this, and I don't know if we're hearing it or not, but Satan comes immediately to steal the word. Susie and I have had some huge fights this year. And like some of them have been like, where? I mean, we dealt with that years ago in counseling. Where did that come from? I mean, just a massive blowout. And I'm like, what in the world's going on? It's like we've gained no progress. And then I'm reminded, Satan, what have we been preaching on? Love. Satan comes immediately to steal the word. So we need to keep each other accountable, help each other, and realize what Satan's trying to do, because we're trying to get this body here. I mean, we're just following God into unity. You know how hard it is to have unity and one accord in a body like this? It's impossible without God's love. I believe, and I'm a faith person, I believe God's doing something, but I'm going to have to lead. I can't expect everyone else to respond to the messages and act on the messages. I have got to lead. I have got to reconcile. I was watching the Billy Graham funeral service. Anybody see that? Here's Billy Graham, you know, a confidant to presidents. Ministered, and I believe it's a lot higher than this, but they say 200 million people. I think it's more than that. May have preached the gospel to more people than anybody in history. And then, you know, the percentages probably got them the most saved. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But you know what his service was about? Well, it was about the gospel. It didn't mention any exotic crusades or places that he'd been or crowds that he spoke to or presidents that he'd been around. It didn't mention any of that. You know what it mentioned? It mentioned his wife. And it mentioned his kids. And it mentioned the gospel. Here he is, 99, you know, dies at 99. And what is life about? It's about family. It's about friends. It's about your kids. He said that this was really, oh man, this is, I mean, that, I was in tears all throughout the whole thing. But when his wife was sick, his wife went to heaven before he did. His wife was sick. Billy would just go in there and she'd be just laying on her side. Billy would come in there and sit in his chair and they'd just both look at each other. Don't say anything, just looking at each other. And Franklin said he was in there because he'd read the Bible to her or minister to her or whatever else. And he said it was like the love was just so strong. It was uncomfortable being there in their bedroom while they were looking at each other. So I believe God's doing something. And I'm going to keep my faith out there, and I'm going to believe the best. Because I hear these rumors of things happening with people, and I'm just going to believe the best. And if there's situations I need to get involved in, I'll just follow the Holy Spirit. If I'm asked to get involved, I will. But I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on loving. I'm going to keep on giving. I'm going to, you know, before I bring my gift to the altar, I'm going to make sure, you know, everything's right with people. And I'll stand before you. And now you may have something against me, but there's nobody here and nobody in my family, none of my kids, the lady at Walmart, there's nobody I have anything with. I've got no quarrels. Now, there's some things that I'm tempted about, but I'm not going to receive them. And so I can just come and give my gift in freedom. And if I mess up, I don't like to do it necessarily, but go apologize. And I just want to, you know, I don't know who this is for, but you go ahead and just be quick to do it. Maybe you need to do it today. Maybe it's someone you need to call. Because I tell you what, the enemy's plan in division is to cut you off from the blessing, the manifested blessing. People's stubbornness, oh my goodness. So stubborn, just to hang on. Hang on to the hurt. Hang on to that thing with somebody. Every time if I see them, I'm going to walk on the other side. I'm just going to give them the cold look. And your mouth, how can out of your mouth come blessings and cursings? And to you wiser and older, mature people, why don't you start acting like it? You know, we got Billy Graham's gone, Oral Roberts is gone, Kenneth Hagin is gone, and you finally look around and, hey, you're still here. Who's going to lead? Where are all our leaders? Who's going to lead? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a leader. You're a leader. Why don't you do your job? Do your job and lead. I don't want to lead. I want someone else to lead. Well, sometimes you just stand around. Everybody else is gone, and you're the one with the knowledge. I'll just the last few moments here, whatever that means. The last few moments here. I'll just give you some privy to some conversations Susie and I have been having. It's like you were sitting at the table. We've been talking. You know what we've been talking about? Revival. Revival. We've been talking about awakenings. We've been talking about miracles and people being saved and just masses of people coming to God and us being in Good News Church doing their part as life givers and discipleship. And man, there are some amazing conversations and dreams and wishes that we have. But I tell you what, if we don't get this right, it's gonna be nothing. I said, or someone said by the Spirit of God, love opens the door to all of that back there, immigrant community, troubled youth, military community, all the different unusual doors. What good is it if we have the door and go through the door and we don't have love? What good is it if we do all these great things, go to all these nations, and Susie and I get divorced, or we don't get along, or my kids get lost? I just want to spend the rest of my days just blessing my kids. I want to bless them and love them. Don't Grayson's not over there, so don't. I made a thing about every birth this year because my love language is gifts, you know, and I desire to send cards and gifts for all my kids' birthdays and son-in-law, daughter-in-law, all that. But this year I'm doing it. And I'm sending them a check with some money in there, but then I'm just writing them just a loving, sloppy, agape kind of message on there. And so just wrote one. Well, Harry and Maddie just had their birthdays in February. And Susie, I was so mad because she had the card, and I was going to just all selfishly, this would be all my card, and just write Matt and Susie because I'm going to get all the glory. She sees it. She grabs it. She writes this message that just made me cry. This is to Maddie Sue. And I'm just like, that sucks. What am I going to write now? How can I write anything? It's the mama. What are you waiting on to tell them? What are you waiting on? Hug them, love them, tell you love them, write them notes, give them gifts, bless them. And I know, like your kids, especially there's correction involved, but we just seem to get more joy out of the corrections than we do the blessing. If you're enjoying those corrections, spank my kids and I'm crying more than they are when they were younger. Seriously, I'm pathetic. Really, I'm a pathetic spanker. I don't want to do this. And I spank Grayson in just a love tap. And he just bursts out crying like it's all fake. It's not, you know. And here I am. Get out of here. Leave me to my misery. Okay, go ahead and stand, everybody. Just say Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, help us. Oh, help us. Help us, Father. Help us to get it. Come on, help us to get it. Help this church to wake up. Lord, we want revival here. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders to lead. Set the example. Lord, that we'd be hearers and doers of the word. Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, I just pray for reconciliation in this congregation. If there's any division or strife here, Lord, that it may be dealt with. Lord, if there's ever any reconciliation that needs to happen in our marriages, I pray that it may happen right now in the name of Jesus, that someone would give. Pray for reconciliation in families. Maybe with brothers and sisters and others, Lord. Let that love flow right now in the name of Jesus. And let's get it right. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I know there's hurts. I pray for healing right now for brokenhearted people, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you for one accord. Unity and harmony here in the name of Jesus. devil, take your hands off God's property. The accuser of the brethren, you got to go. In Jesus' name. Now, just kind of pray there for a minute. And if you see some faces, maybe there's someone you're supposed to go talk to today or call. Or maybe it's so strange you can't talk to them. Why don't you pray for them? Spend some extra time praying for them. Maybe write them a note. Maybe get them a gift. How can we respond today? And if you're offended with me, come talk to me. Make an appointment today. I'm sorry. I do stupid things. I mess up. I forget things. And if I did and I've hurt you, come, let's get it straightened up. I don't want anything in this body. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, everybody just say this together. Say, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess Him as my Lord and Savior. I receive that reconciliation. My sins are forgiven. They've been washed by the blood of Jesus. I am healed. I am whole. Heaven is my home. I'm now a son and daughter of God. Show me your plan for my life. In Jesus' name.